A headline in a recent letter to the editor in the Star Advertiser raised eyebrows. It was written by the founder and volunteer director of the Children's Discovery Center, which, by the way, got its start 3 decades ago. We sat down with Loretta Yajima last week to find out more about the homeless situation in Kaka'ako and fears about the dwindling number of visitors.
We actually opened in a small storefront at Dole Cannery Square in donated space, and we moved here 20 years ago. It was such a momentous occasion, and we had a very quiet celebration, and one of the things that I'm writing now is a piece for our internal newsletter, and I wanted to reassure the public that, you know, people have expressed so much concern about whether we're going to close and what can they do to help, and that's been very heartwarming. But I think I ended my piece by saying, now that the candles on our birthday cake are blown out, the fire that fuels the passion that we felt when starting the Children's Discovery Center still burns brightly. And that it is really a message of hope, because we're not giving up. We really feel so passionately about what we do for children and the fact that our children are our future. And it is a message of hope and reassurance.
I have to say, I haven't been down here since the last really big sweep when we had the shanty town. And I thought, oh, it's not so bad. But then I saw pulling up at your back doorstep a number of homeless tents, and then coming around the front and same thing. And then I had to park and walk over here, and I was met with a stench of urine, not exactly a welcoming reception to a children's museum.
Well, Catherine, I'm the first one in the morning, and part of the reason that I come so early is I want to make sure that the grounds are clean, not just for the families and the children that come, but the first ones in the door are our staff. You know, this whole facility needs to be a healthy environment, and we want it to be conducive to joy, happiness, you know, everything that we stand for. And so there's a lot of cleaning up to do in the morning, and you know, I'm sorry that that you experienced that too, and I totally understand how people are a little hesitant when they come into the area, the Kaka'ako Makai area, and that was another reason that I felt motivated. Even though I rarely make any public statements, I felt motivated to write the article, because you can't deny that it's happening. And this is not, I want to be very clear about this, this is not a Children's Discovery Center issue. This is a community issue. It's an issue for our whole state, for our nation, for the world, and we just need to collectively figure out how we're going to resolve this.
This is really, it's about our kids.
It is. It's the bottom line is it's all about the kids. In fact, that's the caption on the front page. We've just celebrated 20 years of joy, wonder, and discovery for children, and it's all about the keiki. It's all about our keiki.
The bottom line is you want to stay here. You've been here 20 years, and you believe you have a future here.
Well, many people don't realize that we actually lease the land from the state. We lease the parcel of land upon which this original city incinerator building sits. And people always ask us, why don't you do something about the parking lots, the sidewalks, the park, and this and that and the other thing. But the parking lots are actually public lots. And all of these lands here are owned by the state, initially under the jurisdiction of Hawaii Community Development Authority. And so that's something that I think people need to realize. We are under a 40-year lease. We have a 40-year lease with the state, and we've just celebrated our 20th anniversary. So we have 20 more years. And I've been thinking very carefully about sharing with the board what our options are. And the board unanimously said, we can close. We've worked so hard to get here, and people love the center. It's such a wonderful educational facility. And we talked about the possibility of moving somewhere, and I said, this might sound funny to say, but after 30 years of doing this full time, I said, I'm probably not going to live another 30 years to raise the money and move someplace else. But that's not the only reason. When we moved here, Governor John Waihe actually invited us to come to Kakaakamakai, and at the time, the parks weren't developed yet. This was a city incinerator, and his vision was to develop 30 acres of park and have the Pacific Ocean at our doorstep. And I thought, you know, of all the children's museums in the United States, because that's where the movement started, we have the Pacific Ocean at our doorstep, 30 acres of park, and we have weather that we can do indoor and outdoor programming all year long. You know, it didn't really take much convincing for us to move down here. And actually, for the first, oh, probably, you know, 5 to 10 years, it was wonderful. We had Keiki fun runs in the area. We had Keiki swap meets. We used the park for outdoor programming. It really was idyllic. And so we do have 20 more years on our lease here, and we'd really love to find a way to stay here. And I still have hope that this park will once again be a place where our local families want to come and the tourists want to come and enjoy the shoreline.
While you've been working to keep the center afloat and build out the rest of the incinerator, you've also been working with museums in China. Tell us about that.
Back in 2011, there was a gentleman from Inner Mongolia, Hohhot Inner Mongolia, and he started a private foundation there. And my husband's business partner said he would like to play golf. And so my husband said, oh, I'll take you to play golf and let's go visit the Children's Museum here, because knowing that his foundation was interested in education. And they came and visited, and I'll tell you, he was here with some of his foundation trustees, and he doesn't speak any English, and I don't speak Chinese. And so, much to my surprise, when they got to the 18th hole, my husband called me and said, Mr. Niu would like to have dinner with you. He's been thinking about what he witnessed by visiting the Children's Discovery Center all day long. And one of my daughters actually worked in Shanghai for a number of years, and so she came to dinner and was a translator for us, and he was so enthusiastic, and he said to me, and these were his words, not mine, he said, I am so inspired. He said, I want to revolutionize early childhood education in China. I want to build 100 children's museums throughout the country. Will you help me? I mean, I had just met this gentleman that morning, and I was stunned. And so I didn't know how serious he was. I didn't know whether the translation was 100% accurate. I clearly was not in a position to move to China. And so I had said to him, you know, there are hundreds of children's museums throughout the United States. The children's museum movement started in the late 1800s in Brooklyn, New York. And I said, you know, my suggestion is maybe visiting some of those museums across the United States. And he said, great idea. Would you lead the effort? And so the next step, early in 2012, I was like a tour guide. We got a big bus. We flew to Indianapolis Children's Museum, which is the largest children's museum in the United States. And then we went across country and visited museums by bus. And I had an interpreter interpreting into Chinese. And I had the microphone facing 30 people on the bus. There were government officials, trustees from the Lao Niu Foundation, and they got to be very big fans of the children's museums. And for the past 6 years, almost 7 years now, I've been going back and forth to China. And we opened the first children's museum in China in Beijing 2 years ago. And it's a lovely museum. They have millions of people going there because the population in China is so vast. And we're opening a very large, the second one in Hohhot, Inner Mongolia, which is the hometown of the foundation. And we're opening that in August of this year. It's over 350,000 square feet under roof, two buildings and a preschool attached to it.
And it's all because a gentleman came by and saw our little, humble Children's Discovery Center here in Kakaako.
Internationally, nationally and internationally, people say the charm of the Children's Discovery Center in Hawaii is something that we will never forget. After we went on that U.S. tour, he said, And in fact, one of the executive directors of one of the large children's museums said, you know, we do consulting all over the world. And he said, your museum is wonderful, but I like hers the best. And I think the charm of our museum here in Hawaii is that we really based it on the population who lives here, wanting to give our children the opportunity to learn about their own ethnic and cultural heritage. And so we have, you know, in addition to a gallery about your body and about your town and Hawaiian rainbows, we also have a rainbow world where children can learn about their own ethnic and cultural heritage. Children's museums are really for multi-generational learning. And when grandparents come here, it's their favorite gallery. They love to talk to their grandchildren about what life was like in China or Japan or the Philippines or Vietnam or Korea. So that's very heartwarming.
That was Loretta Ujima of the Children's Discovery Center in Kaka'ako. The day that we did the interview with her was the last day of the point in time count in urban Honolulu, and city crews were in the process of clearing out the illegal campers.